Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Kedushin is a tough daf for us because we have to say goodbye to Kedushin. Lo pashut. Not only do we say goodbye to Kedushin, we say goodbye to Seder Noshim. Whew. A new world begins. It'd be a siman tov. But meanwhile, we have to go bravely into the unknown. So let's begin our last daf in Kedushin, daf pei beis. Lo yilamed, that's, we're continuing on now with the issues of yichud or about any other circumstances that can bring a person to yichud. What situations are considered to be sexually stimulating and what situations are not. The last thing that we had learned was the din to be semech on Shmuel, the issue of the halacha of ein mishtamshim benashim. And as the Rishonim point out, since Shmuel Paskin Ako is in terms of L'shem Shamayim, that's how we Paskin Halacha L'maisa. And that, as the Rishonim point out, is the reason that we don't really have this idea of Bizman Hazeh, in which people are makbid lo l'shtameshim nashim at all. Women serve and women talk and so on and so forth. So we'll be talking about the, as I said, the halacha is at the end of the sugya. But let's begin today with the Halakha Mishnah on the top, near the top of Pei Beis. Lo yilamed adam ravak sofrim, velo tilamed isha sofrim. The question is whether a ravak, which we'll just use the English word bachelor, but we'll see that there's going to be a question in the Gemara of how to define the nature of this ravakut. So a person who's a bachelor should not be a teacher in a cheder. And a woman should not be a teacher in a cheder, in a school for young kids. Rabbi Elazar Omer, af mi she'en lo isha lo yilamed sofrim. Even someone who has no wife, which seems to be repetitive. We said a bachelor. A bachelor, usually we meet someone who has no wife. So I was going to explain what it is that Rabbi Elazar is adding. So he also should not accept a job as a teacher in a cheder. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo yireh ravak beima. We have to be even more makbid. Someone who is not married is not allowed to work as a shepherd. Lo yishnu shnei ravakim betalit achad. And two people who are not married are not allowed to sleep together under one blanket. Whereas the chachomim are matir, all of that kind of stuff. And we'll see in the Gemara back with this is nogia, even in the Tanakhama. Because my taima, what's the simple reason, understanding that a bachelor should not be a teacher? So, are we afraid that he's going to be a predator on the children? This is the same Tanakhama. And the Tanakhama says that we are not cheshed for actual Mishkav Zachur or Mishkav Behima with Jewish people. So why all of a sudden would they have said, if that's what they tied into Rabbi Yehuda, would they have said that we should not take a job in a school in the event that he's not married? The point over here is that since the children's mothers are always coming to PTA meetings, or they're bringing the kids to bring them in the morning, or they're picking them up in the afternoon, so there's this constant exposure, talking to the same women all the time, and therefore it comes under the yichud issue. The same thing is true that a teacher, a woman should not be a teacher because of the fact that the fathers will also attend PTA meetings, come, leave off the kids, and anyway, they end up getting involved with each other, and that's a dangerous situation. It's very nogea halacha lemaisa. There's a lot of shivas that were sent to Rav Meisha about accepting women as teachers in schools. And basically what he learns is that, generally speaking, what we're talking about, a woman here is being a private tutor. But in a place where there's people all around all the time, and you're in a big building, and everybody is there, that over there, that's what the Gemara was referring to. And okay, some people that are marked, as you know, in many Jewish schools. Or from schools. Rabbi Elazar Omer, af mi she'en lo isha ubanim. So now, is that what we just said? In other words, he's coming to add on some level to the Tanakhama. Tanakhama said a ravak should not be the school teacher. And he's coming to add something or another, right? Af mi she'en lo. So af mi she'en lo is the same thing, unless, and there's two ways we could understand it. We could understand it that the Tanakhama means a Ravak in the sense of that we use today actually for bachelor, mostly is understood as someone who never married. So he's a confirmed bachelor, right? But someone who was once married and currently divorced or his wife died, he's not called a Ravak. So that could be the simple meaning of what it is that Rabbi Elazar is adding. Yeah, forget about the question of whether he's a confirmed bachelor. Even if he was married and his wife died, he's also included in that idea of Ravak. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that the Tanakhama himself is including as Ravak someone who is not currently married, in which case Rabbi Elazar would have to be adding even further. So he would be adding someone whose wife is not around. So Mishen Lo Isha locally should not be involved in other women coming to discuss their children and so on. Okay, so Ibailo, let's see that inside. What do we mean when you're saying Af Mishen Lo Isha? Do we mean Mishen Lo Isha Klal, that his wife had died? Or Duma B'Shena Shuyat, so maybe he's coming to add even in the event that he does have a wife, but she's not around. Tashma af bishiyeshlo ve'ina shuyatzlo lo yilamet sofrim. See very clearly that according to Rabbi Elazar, we are adding all the way into the question of his wife literally not being present. Rabbi Yehuda Aymer. So Rabbi Yehuda says that you can't have bachelors, again, he uses the same Russian, referring to the Tanakhama, continuing, that he's not allowed to be a shepherd, he's not allowed to sleep together with other males. Tanya Amrula Rabbi Yehuda, we do not have such a chashat. Lo nechshedu Yisrael al mishkav zachur, lo al habeima. There is no issue, and that's how we paskin, there's no issue of being exposed to animals, and there's no din of not sleeping together as males in the same blanket. Now we're ready for Sir Richard. I hope we are.
Here I am.
Thank you. Kol she'asakav im anashim, lo yitiachid im anashim. Anybody who is involved in a parnosa that involves him with women all the time should not be alone with women. Now, I thought nobody's allowed to be alone with women. So there's two basic approaches to this, right? So we've got Rashi's approach. Rashi's approach is that all over we were talking about the Isser of Yichud was only with Shtei Nashim, with two women. And over here, so what would that mean? According to Rashi, this is Rashi Shita all over. According to Rashi, if there's more than two women, then there's no problem of Yichud. And the Mishnah is coming to say that in the event that someone is always involved with women, you know, so let's say he's an Avon salesman, you know, so he's always coming into homes and he's around the women and so on. So there, he should not be alone, even with many women, because they're all sort of used to him and they'll cover for him, and therefore we're more machmir. The Rambam learns just the opposite. The Rambam learns that the Mishnah is coming to say, even someone whose business involves women. And you might think that such a person we would be more makil on, because of the fact, the same way we have a din, let's say that when somebody is a doctor, you know, there's no iser in him of doing things that for other men would be considered to be abusive to women, because he is involved, obviously, with what it is that he's being was trained to do. And that is called, he's torud bimlachto. He's involved in his work, and he's not involved in sex. So the chiddush is that even, that's how the Rabbah learns, even in such a case, he still is not allowed to be alone with women. Okay, Tosis, on the other hand, and many of the other Rishonim, although it appears that most agree with Rashi, that the Chiddush over here is, according to Tosis, a man can never be alone, even with many women. And what it means over here is that if his business is with women, so then he cannot rely on his wife being around. We said before that if it's ishto imo, so then there's no problem of yichud. But in the case where the guy is busy with women, so then you cannot rely on his wife being shomro, because it doesn't look suspicious that he's alone with these women. And therefore, even if ishto imo, it's considered to be a chashat. So we basically have three different approaches. Rashi, who says that the addition is even to be alone with more than two women. Then we have Tosfos, who says that the issue is if his wife is with him, that even there he's not supposed to be alone with women. And then we have the Rambam, who says even though you might think it's mutter because he's tarud b'melachto, that nonetheless, it's not considered to be here a reason to be matir yichud. So this idea of being tarud b'melachto is not only somebody who's like in a very, very professional kind of situation, you know, a gynecologist or something like that. But this is basically in the Gemara's example, is that farmers will always actually be involved in mating their animals so they can actually do insertion and so on, which normally a person is not even allowed to look at animals mating. But this is also considered to be torud b'melachto, and he's not considered to be in any way stimulated by the mechanical work of reproduction. So now, getting on to the next again, Rebuta Emer, I was in the middle of explaining the Mishnah. So when we say kosher sakavim nanashim, as you say, we have three upshot. Now, even though we said that your mechuyev earlier on, and remember that this is part of Kedusha, is the chiyev of a father to his son to teach him some type of career, he should avoid teaching him some type of career that involves dealing specifically with women. Rabbi Meir Omer, Olam yilamed adam et beno umenut nikiya v'kala. It's very important to make sure that you do something. Again, there's a number of different approaches to this. Nikiya v'kala could mean literally. Nikiya, it doesn't make him filthy. They shouldn't teach him for a career in garbage collection, let's say, or tanneries. Let's see in the Gemara. And also, it shouldn't require heavy work. The other approach would be that it's nikiya in terms of not being involved in iser. So it shouldn't be the kind of thing that leads to stealing that is part of white-collar crime. That type of thing you should avoid. And that way, kala would also mean that it's easy to understand, not full of risky kind of things that are going to cause you to lose money where you make your wrong analysis about the stocks and so on. And the fact is, it's not really important what kind of degree he has, because yitpalel l'misha oshem anechasim shalom. Anyway, everything that you do, no matter how successful this type of career ought to be, or how you might think such a career would not be, makes absolutely no difference. Because you have to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she'ena umanut. There's no such thing as a particular way to make money. She'en ba aniyut v'ashirut. You can be amazingly skilled at a particular thing that everybody else is making money in, and you end up losing, or vice versa. You could be involved in collecting garbage, and in the end, you're the owner of a 500-truck fleet of, you know, I mean, like, there's no way to know how things develop. Any particular kind of business could end up, look how many rich Jews there are from the junkyards, right? You wouldn't have thought that's an umanut nikiya v'kala. Yeah, end up becoming very rich. And look how many people have failed with these unbelievable high-tech investments and so on, and they end up in jail. She'en aniyut mino umanut, v'lo ashirut mino umanut. The level of poverty is not the result of your degree college. V'lo yashirut mino umanut. Hakol lefi zechuto. Everything goes according to the zechus of a person. And Tosa says, even though it says zechuto, Normally, we use zichuto to mean what a person was zochet to in terms of his meisim tevim. But that's not what it means over here, because it says in other places that these are the things that are totally b'mazel. And the question is whether zichuto can actually mean mazal. I mean, a lot of people tend on the tesis. So they put in, you know, well, you can always change the mazel, because if you have zechut, you can change the mazel. But the truth is that we don't use zechut specifically to mean the zechut of your meisim tevim, because obviously, if we did, nobody would say, v'zakeni. What do you mean, v'zakeni? Well, you'd think that you're such a tzaddik, v'zakeni. Obviously, when we utilize that word, we mean that Hashem should be mizakeh us for free with the type of mazel that would give us such a thing, right? So there's really no big problem of using, as Taisa says, the word akolofi zechuto. It means what he's given. That could be what we call mazel. And by the way, many explain that the meaning of mazel would say ein mazel Yisrael. That has to do with, you know, astrology and so on. Obviously, that's ein mazel Yisrael, as the Rambam says, it's all nonsense. But the idea of mazel, in terms of the way Yisrael views mazel, is as the way the Zohar explains it. Mazel is a lashon of nizila, the flow, meaning the flow from the mekor of the person's neshama is what we call mazel. It's the other way around. People who believed in astrology, they attributed that nizila of the mekor of the Adam to the mekor alpi astrology, which Lamaisa does not necessarily have any real basis, certainly according to most Rishon, or many Rishon.
Rebbe, my friend just asked me that Shmuel was an expert in astrology, right, and wrote a Sefer, the thing. So if it's not considered a real thing for Jews, then why do we find Shmuel an expert in it?
I don't know where it says astrology. Shmuel was an expert in astronomy, it says. Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar, he says, Nihirin li shvilei rekia. What does that have to do with astrology?
I'll send Rebbe the sources. It's Nagia with his Shidduch. So I told him to ignore the astrology and go ahead with the Shidduch. He said, but it doesn't work. I said, ignore it. He said, but Shmuel. So I need an answer.
All right. Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar, Omer. You know, let me ask you something. Did you ever see any type of animal, behemo or chaya, did you ever see them with a Harvard degree? No. Do they have any problems in making a parnosa? Okay, this used to be at the time of the Gemara. Nowadays, it's basically all you see with a Harvard degree. But it used to be that the animals didn't attend university. And they end up having a great parnosa. They don't seem to ever have any problems. All of these people, that these animals are there in order. Brucey, please mute yourself. Are only there in order to be Meshamish Adam, like it says by the Gabi the Mabel, Akshav Shein Adam, Kalei Lomali. Vani Nivreti the Shamish Kuni. And I was created to be working for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So shouldn't I for sure be provided with everything that I need? Inu Din Shet Paneshul Ovitzar, Ela Shorati Ma'asai, Vikipachti Et Parnasi. But because of the fact that I chose Ra, I lost my rights to all these wonderful things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give me. Abagurian ish sadyan, omer mishum abaguria. Certain things you should be careful not to get your kids into. It's lo yilamed adam et beno chamar, gamal, kadar, sapan. There's the type of things where people end up always being over on taking money shelo kedin. And this could be, let's see, the guy's a truck driver, a camel driver, or he's a kadar, which means he's got basically one of these, you know, little gypsy wagons that he drives around. He shouldn't be a sailor. He shouldn't be a shepherd. He shouldn't be a makolet man, because they always get themselves into trouble by doing things that are dishonest. These truck drivers will always park in somebody else's rishus. They'll let their animals graze in other people's lots. As somebody who's got animals to take care of, a shepherd, they go wandering around and they damage other people's property. a person, you know, who's not makbid, and he's a storekeeper. He's not makbid on his scales, or he mixes a little bit of water into his wine, or he's got maybe a little bit of extra fiber in his grain. Who knows? All of these things lend themselves to stealing. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Mishmei. Rabbi Yehuda said, Abba Gurya actually pointed out something entirely different. That Hamarim Ruban Rishaim, it's true that the people who drive around with the Hamar, I mean, yeah, it's like, it's just local roads, right? But Agimalim, a Gamal, he drives through deserts. He's worried about being attacked by Bedouin. He's terrified half of the time. Maybe he's going to run out of water. So these kind of people are actually always davening, save me, and they'll break their gaiva in order to be mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when it comes to sapanim, these are sailors, where they are exposed to even greater dangers of hurricanes in the yam. Those people, they're great chassidim. Tov shebarofim l'geinom, even the greatest of the doctors is meant to go to hell. V'hakasher shebetabachim, shutafor shel amalek. And even the best of the sheikhtim is like in partnership with Amalek. So we know that this is a lot of discussion about these issues. Tov shebarofim l'geinom, actually some learn, means only the best of doctors. Why? Because the best of doctors, they don't consult with other doctors. They always think that they know everything. And because of that, their gaiva leads them to make mistakes. That's one shot. It's interesting, the Rashbat, who was a doctor, so he has a lot of discussion about this, the Tashbit Springs, that the idea over there is, it's referring, but Davka, he says, to surgeons, not to doctors. Why Davka to surgeons? Because since a mistake in surgery is basically like stabbing someone to death, so then the guy has a dinner of a murderer. On the other hand, I mean, if what you're doing is you're handing out pills, and, you know, supposedly herbs that cure, whatever, so there ain't the dying of machine of royals, which you're not doing anything be a dying that's actually going to kill someone.
Rebbe, what year did he live?
When?
What year did the parish that Rebbe just said, what year did he live?
Oh, he's from the Gedalei Sfarad. So This person, you know, who would even use as we said, the Gemara says, that even a tiny needle is enough to kill someone, right? Because we say there's no need for omed when it comes to anything that's made out of barzel. So since these surgeons are doing all types of things, you know, so even if they're putting in stitches, that's already considered could be murder if they do something that causes the person to die, gets infections, whatever. But that's not what I do, says he. And so I don't think it's referring to doctors like me. The question of the kosher Shabbat HaPachim, that's referring to how easy it is to make a mistake in judgment where you're faced with, you know, is this considered to be a pegima and the sakin? Is this considered to be a real hole in the lungs? As we know, the kosher's business, you might as well be involved with amole. Anyway, that's how some learn, which is a bit of a problem, as the Tosafos Ri points out. Because what does that have to do with Amalek? I mean, that's just being machil nevelus v'treifus to Yisrael. I mean, that's like all of these restaurants that go next door to the local Safeway to buy meat, you know, when the mashgiach's not looking. But why is that the Amalek? So they learn Amalek is the pshat that you become cruel because you're constantly involved in the killing, and that turns you cruel. Rabbi Noah Rai Omer. Miniach ani kol umanut shebolam. Now the obvious problem is that Rabbi Meir was the one who paskened over here that you should make sure to teach your son an umanus kala v'nekia. Now, of course, Rabbi Meir's other name was Rabbi Noroi. So how can Rabbi Noroi argue on Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah? I mean, if we're talking about over here multiple personalities, I mean, they don't usually argue with each other, at least not in public. And he says, Rabbi Noray, well, I don't believe in this training my child to go to Harvard. I don't care what it is, even if it's a basket weaving degree. Ini milamid et b'nei el Torah. All I believe in teaching my child is Torah. And that's because Adam Ochel Mischara B'Olam Hazeh Ba'Keren Kayemet L'Olam Haba. But anything else that a person is making money on, what's going to happen if he gets sick? What's happening if he gets too old to work? Or if he's incapacitated by just the horrible things that happen in his life and he just can't get it together? The guy ends up having nothing to eat. Doesn't matter how much he was making before. He could have been making millions. And now, and you see this all the time with these Hollywood stars. They end up homeless on the streets. It protects him. And it provides him with new hope, even in his old age. So those who have basically their entire vision has to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they end up getting new strength. And we see that Avram Avinu was also Skola Torah Kula, Achalo Nitna. So it must have been the Keach of the Torah that was Shemer Avram Avinu and that brought him Brocha Bakol. Shnemar Ekev Asher Shema Avram Bekoli Vayishmor Mishmarti Mitzvotai Chukotai Vetorotai. So the question, I mean, this is the Brisker Rav on the Chumash talks about this. In this pasuk, so he talks about the problem of Rabbi Noroi bringing Rabbi Meir, and he says the obvious answer. There's two madrigas in Rabbi Meir, one of which is talking for everybody, and one which is Nehura, is a deeper level of Or, and that's a reference to the Rabbam and Hilchas Shmita V'Yayva, that it's possible for a person to be on a madriga in which he takes out of his mind all of the Chishbonot HaRabim, that people, that's the quoting Kohelet, the Rambam quotes, and all the other things that people are involved in, all of the nonsense that people are involved in. And he's miyachid his entire life for Avedas Hashem Bovad. And that puts a person into a completely different situation. And as the Rambam brings, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mazmin lo, whatever he needs, the same way that he's mazmin for the Kehanim and Levim, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be mazmin for him. So such a person is allowed to be mitzaref, his children, to the madriga that he has, and to train them, in fact, to be like that, and not to be involved in their degrees. Lamaisa is a fascinating shaila, halacha lamaisa. You know how many people claim that buying an insurance policy is challenging the Lord. You must have heard that one, right? So, I mean, if you really have bitachon, so how do you buy an insurance policy? Why don't you just trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu to protect you? You know, this old argument. He says, like, why is that any different than going out to have a business or a career? I mean, why don't you just trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's gonna protect you? Is there such a thing? He's going to be mefarnes you? Is there such an issue? Obviously, it's Yisur Gomer to do that kind of thing, says Rav Meisha. So the idea of the whole point is that in the same way that a person is mechuyev to do whatever is done normally in order to protect his interests and to make sure that he is making money, so too the person has to do in all other issues to protect his property with an insurance policy and so on and so forth. And therefore, obviously, this has nothing to do with such an issue. So he says, his lashon is, lefi ani yasdaiti, in b'zeh shum chisron bebitachon b'Hashem Yisborach, hu kekol inyanei mischar, sh'ahadam lo rak sh'reshoi, ala gam mechuyav la'asot mischar ve'avodah l'panasato, v'yasur lo lomar, sh'im lo yaseh klum, yazmin lo Hashem Yisborach panasato. What makes him think that he can say such a thing? Okay, beautiful. So this is nogea many issues besides directly the question of parnasa. It's also the question of the overall vision that a person has of what he's mechuyev to do with his life. There's a beautiful, I, you know what, the truth is, I shouldn't really say that it's It's a beautiful Orchus Chaim of the Rush, even though it is. He's not Masber himself very well. But it's interesting that in the in Reb Volbo's Sefer, he takes Bepashtus, the Rush, to mean what the Rush really means, which is interesting. So what he says is that the contradiction over here of putting your work into a career and, on the other hand, having complete bitochen in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the aniyas and the ashiras is not a function of the work that you're doing, that is a very profound paradox for most people. And what he says is, he doesn't, I don't know whether, you know, he saw, obviously he hadn't seen the Rabbeinu Bacha, who gives such an incredible explanation that we've been talking about, but the Tosfos HaRosh actually says that that individual is Mekayim Hayichud HaShalem Bilevavo, which is exactly the point, that in the integration of being able to be Miyachid, the Ishtatlis that he does in Olam Hazeh as being the Yodai Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Olam, that is the whole getter of Yichud Hashem. And this person is Mekayim Hayichud, that's the Lashon of the Rosh. Mekayim Hayichud HaShalem Bilevavo. The only thing is that in the actual Orchus Chaim of the Rosh, he doesn't say precisely what he's talking about. He just says that's what you should do without explaining what it is. But it's interesting that Reb Volbo takes it for granted that that's what it means. Okay, anyway, some beautiful nekudas. So let's talk about, so we had over here a machlokas about whether these guys are actually better or worse. And here we're talking about a machlokas about whether Asakavim and Hashim is even Asakavim Nashim, as the Rambam learns, is it's better because you would have thought that he is actually mutter because of Torah and Malachte, or whether it's the opposite, is worse situation, like Rashi and Tosfos learn, and it means either that Efilu Ishtar Imai, or even if it's more than two women. So Tanu Rabban, Kosha Asakav Im Hanashim Suro Ra. Now this version of Suro Ra is fascinating because this is usually the lashon that we use for an ever, for someone who is misgayer, and then he goes bad. And this suro ra means like where he comes from is ra. And how exactly do we use that lashon over here? Rashi suggests an interesting idea that the suro ra, even though there's a contradiction and there seems to be words missing in the Rashi, that suro ra means to be sar a love is ra. Meaning to get involved with that person, to go to his home, to be mekarev yourself to such a person, kirvatura. But in the beginning, he suggested that the meaning of surura has to do with just minhagora. In other words, his regilut, the way that he's built his life up initially, is ra, and therefore is likely only to get you into trouble. Okay. But whatever, we understand the meaning over here. What are we talking about when we say somebody whose business is essentially a woman's business? Well, you've got the tzorfim. The tzorfim, these are people who are jewelers, basically. And sirikin, we don't have that anymore, but it used to be before there was dry cleaning. So they used to have these tools that they would use to raise the nap of material so that it was soft. And that was sort of part of the way they had no other way of really cleaning thing. And that was the equivalent of like dry cleaning today. Hanakorot, they used to have people going door to door who would actually clean out your mill or your grinder. Because, I mean, these things would get filled with little pieces of material, which made them much less effective. And you needed someone who knew how to get rid of all of the little pieces that would fill in the grinding surfaces. So that's called a no care because he what would you call no care? He like a, what do you say in English? May not care. I mean, he's like to stick and pick things out with a pick. A rochli, and then you have your Avon man, a guardian. What's it called?
Forgery. In England.
I'm not familiar with the word. What can you spell it?
Is this removing the gidanasha, for example, from the meat?
No, I'm sorry, you're not clear enough. I'm sorry, the connection. I'm not picking you up.
Oh, is this talking about removing the gidanasha from the meat?
No, it's talking about taking out little pieces from a grinding machine. Why don't you listen?
That's also called, they call that Nikkor as well. But
yeah, everybody calls that Nikkor, but that's not a Nakar in the sense of having a parnassah from Nakarut.
Right.
Anyway, Saparim, so these are the hairdressers. Hakufsim, those are the people who do the laundries. Hagara, Gara, it's an interesting use of Gara to be Megarea, it's somebody who lets blood. And a Balan is somebody who's, takes care of you in the bathhouse. And a Burski is somebody who is going to be, in this context, normally it means he's a tanner of skin. So over here, it's talking about someone who deals with women's shoes and leather jackets and stuff like that.
I miss what Gardeim is from the back and forth. What are Gardeim?
The Gardeim are weavers. Gardeim. Oh. And besides, anybody who is one of these things, which has nothing to do with the sugya of the women, not because they're possible, we're assuming, but because for Shalom, they're Balei Averin anyway. These are considered to be low-class professions. And it's not proper to have a Kohen Gadol or a Melech where people can't look up to him. The 10 things they say about these people going around letting blood. He's, first of all, he's a big Baal Gaiva. He's Ma'alech Al Tzido, Verucho Gassav, Nitlav Yoshev. So, you know, he walks sort of leaning to one side, you know, he's got, like he's living in the Shamayim. He's very conceited. When he sits down, he doesn't sit down like a man. She spreads out, you know, like the world is his, you know? And then besides that, Enot Tzara, he doesn't like to spend any money. Why? Because what he usually does is when he goes, he times his bloodletting for lunch, you know? So obviously he has to be invited in because, I mean, the person that he's letting the blood has got to eat and has got to feel better. Would you mind eating with me? Oh, how kind of you. Actually, I was planning on going out for lunch, but no, I'd much rather eat with you. So, bottom line is, he never spends any money, you know? And Eino Ra'ah, he's got an eye and horror on everything. If somebody's healthy, he's thinking to himself, when is this idiot going to get sick so that I get an income over here? He's been way too healthy for years. So he's got an eye and horror. And he eats a lot. Ochel harbei. Lemotzi kima. He doesn't need the toilet very much because all the foods that he eats are highly refined. So there's nothing left for him to refine. You know, so he's sitting all day long eating Wonder Bread. I mean, what in the world are you going to excrete if you eat Wonder Bread? There's no food. So because of that, he's motzi kima. Not only that, he's chashud ala arayot. He's always alone with women that he's taking their blood, supposedly. And he's chashud al hagezel. Why is that? Because the women, they keep inviting, you know, like the way women will go out to a spa. I really need a spa desperately, you know. And where'd you get the money to go out to the spa? I found a little bit. I've been saving money up. I found a little money here and there. Where actually she stole it out of her husband's wallet. The spa knows she stole it out of her husband's wallet, but it doesn't matter. They'll take the reservation from whoever makes the reservation. It's what he does, you know. And he's also Choshel Ashvichas Damim, you know, poor George Washington. These doctors, they killed him. They kept taking blood and blood until there wasn't enough left to support him. You know, so that's what these garas do. Darash Bar Kapara.
I'm sorry, Rebbe, there's a simon to remember this. A bloodletter is a very vain person with ulterior motives.
You did say excuse me first, but you didn't ask. Darash Bar Kapara, le'elam yelamed adam et beno umanut nikiya vikala. And what do you mean? Mahi? I mean things like machta the talmiyuta. I'm talking about knowing how to do these kind of really professional stitching work. And people pay money for that. You know, a nice tailor that's able to make beautiful things. Tanya Rebbe on there. Look, the bottom line is that all types of umanut, ein lecha umanut shovert min olam. There's nothing that is going to end up not being around. In other words, there's people that are always going to have to collect garbage, right? Now, Asher Misha Roya Torav Bumanut Mu'ula, Oilolo Misha Roya Torav Bumanut Purguma. You're very lucky if you're born into a family where you see parents that are Osek in a type of business that, because it's very common for a child to follow the parents into that business. And unfortunately, people will follow their parents into business that is the wrong way to go. The bottom line is, look, you're not going to have a working world unless you've got money, unless you've got people working in the perfume trade and you've got people working in the leather tanning trade, okay? We need both of these. Now, one of them smells lovely and one of them stinks to high heaven. Ashrei mishu munato basam. Oilo lemishu munot burski, even though they're both necessary. Last time I heard you can't live without them. You know, so you need both males and females in the world. But listen, Ashrei mishu banav zecharim. Oilo lemishu banav nekevot. If he's got male children, they'll go out and they'll take care of themselves. If he's got female children, he's going to be worried about them for the rest of his life. Somebody's going to seduce them. They're not going to be able to get a good parnasa. They're going to have trouble raising their kids. Oh my God. It never ends. Okay. So you want to do without a female children? No. Rabbi Meir Omer. So then getting back to the mission. So in the Braisa, we see he talks about a little bit more. You have to go and daven to whom all the money in the world belongs. And that's who's going to be the one to get you the money. And the way Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar put it in the Mishnah, in the Braita, it puts it a little cuter. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, I don't know, I've been going around a long time. I never walked into a fig factory that was being run by a deer. Never saw any deers making these fig cakes, dried fig cakes. I never saw a lion working as a sabal. I mean, they're pretty strong, these lions. I never saw him working as a furniture mover or anything, you know. I never saw a fox opening a makola. So how is it they get along so well? So, I mean, wouldn't you think that ma elu shelo nivru ela l'shamsheni mitparnasim shelo b'tzar? Ani, she nivreti l'shameshet koni, eno din shet parnes b'lo tzar? It certainly would have meant that I should be able to live. Ela, shehareoti et ma'asai v'kipachti et parnasati. And l'maisa, it says b'feresh in the pasuk, avonotechem yitu ela. This is the way things were meant to be. But it's your avenas that have pushed away all of these brochas, the chatosechem manu atov mikem. It's your chatoyim that make it impossible to do good for you. Okay, we'll leave the last part for the siyum Bezrat Hashem. And we have a few minutes where we can talk about some of the halachas. I don't have, I thought we would finish earlier, but it was too interesting. some of these things. Okay. So we've got the question over here also of, what the din is, legabe, the being semech on Rashi, where Rashi says that it's actually mutter to be misyachid in cases where you have more than two women. And the interesting is that most of the Rishonim actually go along with that, even though there's many who argue. But there's also a suffix. I mean, the Rashba writes Beferish exactly like Rashi, that the Issur in the Gemara is from the Mishnah exactly as it says. A person should not be alone. Im shtei nashim. Some raise the question about whether that's true. Even, we're talking about even at night. Okay, it isn't clear, but basically Ramesha Paskins that b'shasat chak, you know, you can be semech on Rashi b'shasat chak no matter what the situation is. And when we talk about b'shas hakavim nashim, that's the Tosfos who's machmir, but the Rambam says b'feresh there's absolutely no difference between a regular person or a person is asakavim nashim. The Mishnah is coming to say even a person's asakav im nashim, and basically the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rambam, and therefore you can certainly be semech on that, even though there are certain achreinim that say you should be cheshish for the dasra benutam. But if you've got two men, that are in a business for the women. But we're there for two women. He says, you don't even have to be cheshish for the Rabbeinu Tam. This despite the fact that there are Rishonim, including the Ramban, who says that even two men is Osir Stam with Isaac Ben Ashi. Okay, so they're going with the sheet that Isaac Ben Ashi is more likely to lead to trouble. Okay, as I said, we also paskin, like the Tanakama, Binogea, the issue of whether there's any chashash of behemoths or of zohar. Remember that we said yesterday that there were those Rishonim, sorry, there were those Amoraim, who went out of their way to be makbid publicly, as they told their Talmidim, make sure that I'm not alone with the behemoth, or make sure I'm not alone with my mother-in-law, whatever it is. And those are to give over the sense of the chashash of yichud. And on the other hand, it's also brought halacha lemaisa that the Shmuel's psak of Hakol l'shem shamayim. I mean, we find, as the Rishonim bring, we find crazy stories of the kind of things that the Tanoim and Amoraim would do, dancing around with girls, taking the kala on their backs, and so on and so forth. And over there also, or kissing their sisters on their breasts, all kinds of nutty things like that, which to us appear a little bit over the head there. And no, actually, that was all in order to be Megala, their love and their concern, and like we had yesterday. And the point that the Poskim bring is that you certainly have a right to be Semich on that, and every person has to know himself. And that nonetheless, the Gemara brings all of these Maisim because of the fact that it wants you to be aware of how you can't be really sure about these things. Look at what happened with Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Akiva, and you know that you're only dependent in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you're going to start thinking that I am not a problem, so then the Gemara is there to teach you that you need to know not to be semich on yourself as you, but rather on your connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to Nisoyon. And again, we paskin many of these issues, again, as I've pointed out many times in the Gemara and Brachas and so on, that the idea of what is appropriate in terms of the Gemara is very, very different from what supposedly sexually liberated Western society feels is appropriate, because I mean it's so incredibly hypocritical that, you know, dafka, the things that the Gemara takes for granted is like part of normal human interaction, is what it is that the Gemara, and that's what the Gemara says is mutter, is what it is that raises eyebrows, at least in terms of Western society. But that's like the brief rundown, which takes us already to the end of today's time. But that's like the brief rundown of the main issues that was raised in the Gemara now. And Bezrat Hashem, I hope we'll have an opportunity to go through the Pratei Dinim. As you know, there's thousands of Pratei Dinim that have to do with many practical shaylas and so on. Being alone in an elevator, you know, accepting a woman to work in an office. I mean, there's a type of things that come up all the time. And require a lot of Yishuv Hadas and being able to define exactly what is Mutar and what is Osir.